It's a sobering statistic that about 78% of people stress about money. And it's no secret that the more of it you have, the more problems turn up. Many of the problems that occur take place at the relationship level. While most people would either meet with an accountant or a marriage counselor, today's guest realized, why not both? Simi Mandelbaum is the founder of Prosper Financial Wellness, and she learned that how we view money and the mindset we have is vastly more important than what we do with it. When a family isn't in lockstep about what to do with finances, it definitely causes problems that take a blend of both psychology and finance to figure it out. She takes her clients through the process to uncover the root of their stresses with money. Her personal mantra is, live like no one else so you can live like no one else. And she applies that every day with the people she serves. Find out more about Simi's endeavor at www.prosper.fit. And as always, enjoy the listen. Hey, you're on the hot mic at Arch DevOps with Fritz. I'm here today with Simi Mandelbaum, founder of Prosper Financial Wellness. How you doing, Simi?
Great. How are you guys doing there?
Hey, we're doing good. We're doing good. Man, we had some atrocious technical difficulties here. This is the first time I've had I can hear you and you can't hear me, and then it switches, and I'm like, we're gonna have to use interpretive dance to do this episode today. but we're here. We made it, and you're not freaking out too much, are you? You're doing great so far.
Yeah, I thought this would be like a charades version that I would have to charades the whole thing. So I'm glad to hear my voice is coming through.
Oh my goodness. It's coming through wonderful. It's coming through wonderful. And that would be a really unique podcast idea. You can't give me ideas like that. It makes me think, nobody's ever done an interpretive dance podcast before. I'll save that for the weekend. Well, for the folks at home, if you're reading through the show notes and you say, well, Prosper, I mean, is that a typo? Where's the E? She says, we leave out the E because we leave out excuses. And I'm like, yes. One of my people. So tell us a little bit about what you got going on. What is Prosper Financial Wellness all about?
Oh, I love what I do. And Prosper Financial Wellness is a financial wellness center dedicated to reducing the stress and anxiety with your relationship and money.
Okay.
And what's amazing is that this is not just for anywhere in the United States or any specific area. It's shown that all over the world, that 78% of people have a stressful relationship with money.
I believe that statistic. There's a lot of things that financial stress causes, which I think a lot of people don't realize it's the root of a lot of problems. What do some of the people that come to you struggle with, like some of the other symptoms? Like, you narrow it down and say, well, it's financial stress, but what are they coming to you with? What kinds of problems are they having?
So very often the people will say, like, I just got a bonus. I'm in the same rut as I was before. Or I don't understand. My wife feels like I'm so stingy, or I'm spending way too much, but she's the one that's spending. And there's so much friction in the relationship when it comes to the expenses. Or they feel like they're at a new stage. They'd like to purchase a house. We figured out how to live till now, but now we want something new or something different, and we have no idea what to do. And they just feel so lost. And very often they're feeling like this is just the nuts. They're thinking like possibly we just have to get our numbers in control and get the numbers down pat. But it's so much more than that, because we understand here at Prosper that we can have four people making the same exact amount of money, and they're all spending it in different ways. And that's the root of it. It's because we all have different values or different ways of seeing the world or life. And that's how we move towards that. And understanding that as a money mindset in our relationship with the person near us and dearest to us that may not have that same value or seeing way is very helpful in making it an object and not a relationship issue. Making it a money issue, but not a relationship issue. But what's presented is a relationship issue. We're having a problem with us and our money, or we're fighting constantly about money.
Okay. That's interesting, because I would imagine that people, if they're struggling at a relationship level, they'd probably seek out like marital counseling. And it's like, okay, well, that's not the actual cause of the problem. It's a symptom, but it's not a cause. Well, you're doing some really noble work. Congrats.
So thanks for that. But what's really cool is that that's where we are getting a lot of our clients and our families is from therapists, because therapists will work and we will refer out when we see that the marriage is not, if we're working with clients and we see that there's an underlying marital problem, we'll refer to a counselor. We don't do counseling. We understand our scope. The same way a therapist understands their scope is dealing with the relationship. Once it comes to money, the nuts and bolts of it, that's a little bit out of their realm, and that's where we'll be referred to.
Okay. Neat, neat. Well, how did you get started with Prosper? Like, is this what you've always wanted to do when you grow up, or did you fall into it like a lot of entrepreneurs? Like, how'd you get to where you are today?
Oh, I fell hard and heavy. So my life little story starts about 12 years ago. I was a single mom of 5 children. Mm-hmm. And money was a huge struggle, putting food on the table, figuring out how to cover our bills and at the same time giving the children a quality of life. I didn't want them to grow up having this vision of, you know, being stressed out about money, or this mom that was always tense. And I was working so hard doing 5 jobs. I remember coming home working evenings and like jumping into the house about 9 o'clock and waking them up and telling them, let's do night activity, because I wanted to bring the fun into the house. And I don't want them to see the stress on me. And then awesomely enough, and so I got this vision going through that process that it's not about the money, it's about the quality of life. And sometimes I chose to spend more money on something that I normally would not have, because I believe the quality was more important for the kids. So you know what? We're not going to have chicken or whatever it is for dinner. We're going to have cereal and milk for the next 3 nights, but we're going to go on a trip. And that was really important to us. And then what happened was, awesomely enough, I got remarried to an awesome guy. And I noticed that when he went to the gas station and would purchase a soda for $3.50, my heart would like drop and be like, what is he doing? You could get the same thing in Costco or anywhere else for like 75 cents or like, what is he thinking? And it did. And I noticed that it didn't matter what we had in the bank account anymore. This was something to do with my brain. And it baffled me that it was causing stress between my husband and myself. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. This is weird. I'm stressed out about something, even if I'm not in that situation anymore. So I went back to study the psychology of money and got my designation in financial therapy through Kansas State University. And went continue with my AFC, I'm an accredited financial counselor through the AFCPE. And I've learned so much that the money, as we're saying now, has little to do with numbers and so much to do with mindset.
Mindset. You know, that's really a big thing. That's a big thing. You know, looking back, I know that there have been some stresses in our finances where once we changed our mindset, we realized, hey, you know, it's not as scary as you think it is, you know? So what kinds of maybe mindset changes would you suggest, just like if you have like a top 3 or something like that, to people if they come to you and they're like, I'm really like stressed out about money. Like, are there some key things that they can change about their mindset that they could start getting a win right away?
So coolly enough, it's not just that mindset idea and shift. It's understanding we're walking around with the subconscious understand that we're not even aware of these voices in our head that are telling us how we live life. It comes from, if there's something like a financial DNA, and that comes from our background, our parents, our culture, our ethnicity, it's something that's in us that we're not aware of. So it's not like we can even know. Going through the process, we uncover that and we're able to see. So for example, we had a couple here, or we'll have someone here that will notice that they're stressed out because he enjoys being an entrepreneur and starting his business, and she's working and she's so frustrated that he's not bringing in money consistently. And anytime he spends it, she gets upset at him. And when we're going through the process, it becomes evident that when she grew up in a very poverty-stricken home, and she learned the fear and scarcity mindset and was in that survival mode. And when he saw that this is why she's reacting to him this way, he was able to soften his approach and be like, oh, she's not controlling, she's just scared. So getting to understand your spouse on a different level makes it a softer approach. It won't necessarily change anything going on, but change the way you see your spouse with more softness, with more objectivity. Make any sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It's kind of funny because my wife and I have had that exact conversation, you know, because the way she's grown up, I mean, she didn't plan on marrying a business owner either. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it, her background has been kind of that scarcity mindset. You know, they didn't have a lot and we didn't have a lot. I mean, we were okay. We made it, but we weren't like rich. We couldn't like fling hundreds around and just spend on whatever. We had to be careful. But her and her family, they had to be especially careful. And, you know, now it's like, okay, well, yeah, but entrepreneurs, sometimes we don't make a ton of money in a month. Sometimes we make just a little bit. Sometimes we spend a little more than we make. And it's like, okay, well, it's scary, but we both have to have the right kind of mindset. Let's take a break for a little bit. I've got a few more questions to ask, but we need to take a short pause for a sponsor message, and we will be right back in just a little bit. Okay, and we're back. So took a little break, got some drinks, and wet our whistle, and we're back in the saddle again. So during the break, Simi and I were talking about you know, some different questions to ask, and she had a good question for me, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna hit the record button, I'll let you ask the question. So fire when ready.
So Michael, you were explaining to me your past and the difference between your wife's upbringing and yours, where it was much more, it seemed confined, or there was a lot more stress about how to spend money for your wife. Mm-hmm. And for you, although money didn't come easily, it may not have been as stressful for her. And yet you're an entrepreneur sitting in a business that I'm sure is cyclical, which means that you're not getting a consistent paycheck every month. And that causes a lot of stress very often, especially for people that like to have security and knowing how much money is coming in, the stability of it. So my question to you would be, what would be your goal in life? Like, how do you view money for yourself? What does it do for you?
To me, money is a tool. It's not a status symbol. If I have a lot or a little, it just means I can do a lot or little. But it's a tool that I use to influence the world and people around me. Doesn't mean I'm more powerful if I have a lot more. It just means I got to be a little more clever about using it and trying to find some new ways. But I know too that, you know, we have a family. We got four kids, you know, and we don't have any debts or anything outstanding, but we still have expenses. We still gotta pay for it. But that money is just a tool that we use to achieve that end. Does that make sense?
So for you, money is a tool to help on a larger scale, the world at large, to tap into more opportunity to assist people, it sounds very altruistic, and I'm impressed with that. And it would be cool to see, and I know that you have a family, so you have four children, you see that life costs money, and as they grow up, there's larger expenses, as they say, little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems, comes with money as well. Little diapers in college, two different amounts of expenses there. And I'd be curious, you know, people have this thought that when they're coming to me, they'll be like, success or money to me means I'm going to pay up my debt. I can't wait. I have debt and I want to pay it up. Or I've always wanted a car, or I've always wanted to open a charity account. And yet the next bonus they get, they'll be off on a cruise. And I'll be like, whoa, what happened to that dream that if I had more money, I'll do X, Y, Z. And so when we say what comes to our mind first, that's our logical mind talking. And when something else may happen, it may not be in line with our belief, even though logically, that's what we would like to do. We would like to do that, but we would like to pay up our debt. But you know what? The cruise is here and this is money I didn't account for. Oh my gosh, we may not have another opportunity. So it's really getting to know about yourself and what drives you. So when someone's purchasing a new car, it may be to impress others. It may be because it's larger and he now can take large, better family vacations. And the driving value behind that is spending quality time with his family on long, extensive driving vacations instead of affording plane tickets. So we want to really understand what drives the person. What is that back end road that's not showing on the front? So they want to think, yeah, we want to be altruistic. We want to get a new car or we want to buy a new home. But what is it? Why is that important? Mm. And we're constantly trying to get down to that nitty gritty. And we do so. We have great games that we play, getting to learn, you know, how to communicate with money, different money questions. And all of this is taking the software that financial advisors use and getting to put your numbers in there. So this is not just about talk, but actually getting your numbers on spreadsheets and watching as you're going through this process, those discussions and goal setting become a reality. Because as you're going through the process, those numbers start changing because you're starting to be aware, you're starting to see what's going on. People think sometimes budget, it's like a diet, like don't spend money. That's not what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. We're taking your values and we're showing you how that will work for you. We're making your life happen. When you come from a place of strength, or understanding yourself, you make your choices so much more wisely than when you're coming from a place like, oh, I can't. If I can't afford, I must have. That's the feeling. I can't afford, I must have something. When I'm holding the money in my hand, now I get to make decisions. Whole nother story how I want to handle it. And that's what we're trying to get to the people. We want to get to your value. Oh, you have, you can get anything you want. You can go on all the cruises you want. You may have to live in a tent. We may have to give up your house, but you can go on a cruise. Absolutely. Now we get to make decisions from a place of strength. Oh, wow, that's cool. I never thought of it like that. So let's make our reality happen how we would like to live our life.
Okay. You know, kind of looking like inwardly at my own mind, I really, truly feel like what drives me the most is freedom. You know, I mean, that's sort of the reason why a lot of people start businesses in the first place is they're like, I want financial independence. I want to build something that will run largely without any interference from me. It should be self-sustaining. If I had $100,000 in my pocket right now, I'd probably hire a person to do something. You know, because I want to create jobs for people. You know, I want people to be able to provide for their families. But I've got a lot of stuff I do that I'd like to hand off to somebody. You know, but I got to pay them to do it. But it just leads to more and more freedom. And ultimately, I mean, if I got this business to a point where it was self-sustaining, I would probably start another business, which if you'd asked me a year ago, I probably never would have said that. I've been like, no, Arch DevOps is the thing, and I'm going to do this until it's done, and then just retire. I don't want to retire. That sounds boring. I want to build something else, you know?
What happens so, after that? Walk me through that. Go ahead. You build something else, and then what? You get more money? You build another one? What happens?
I just keep doing it. I like making things, Simi. I don't know. I can't explain it. This is how I manifest my creative energies is just building things. And, you know, if I'm building automation or writing code or podcasting or whatever, I just love making stuff. I guess I'm just going to keep making stuff until I'm dead. Is that bad?
I love the energy that you bring and the fact that you have the creativity and the fact that for you, you were clear how finances is a tool. And a tool for you as in freedom. And the way you see it is free to do what you want. And what you want to do is create new. You personify the word unrealistic because unrealistic means new. When you're realistic, you put yourself in this box. Oh, realistically, nobody could run a marathon for less than 4 minutes because if you scientifically take the data of the way your body and anatomically is made and the prime weight, whatever it is. And yet marathon runners do the impossible because it's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And so I love unrealistic expectation is the entrepreneur's way of creating something that's brand new and nobody could have done it before. So I love that you bring that. And I love that you use and want to use money as a tool to have that. It's awesome.
Well, I love that you called me unrealistic. I swear if it was anybody else, I would have taken it as an insult. But I'm like, that's a huge compliment. That's a good compliment for a Thursday. I like that. I could go on a good compliment like that for 2 weeks. Well, thank you. Well, I'm sorry that I'm not in your target market. It looks like I'm not a good fit for your services. I guess I've got life figured out. So, sorry.
Awesome. And if, good for you.
If you're trying to get me into your funnel, I'm sorry. I my body different. I don't work that.
Well, I don't know about your wife. I know about you. Okay. I may have a different conversation with her. But honestly, I'm glad that you feel that way. And although, you know, the APA shows that 90% of the stress in relationships are to do with money, and it's one of the most awful relationship stressors because their studies show that money is a much nastier fight. It lasts for longer and it's less forgivable. Mm-hmm. So even in divorce cases, when the thing that usually drags out the case and becomes really difficult is the monetary aspect. And right after that is snoring. So we'll keep you at the snoring level, and thank God you don't have the other versions. But, you know, but it is nice to speak to someone who isn't struggling with it, because I guess when you're in something, you get to see a lot of it. Yeah. And I myself understand it quite well.
I hear you. Well, I stick to what I said before about you're doing noble work. There aren't many people that are approaching solving this problem in this way, and you've done a masterful job of blending a couple different areas that you probably wouldn't expect to be in the same space, and you've created something unrealistic that is new, right? That's so cool. I'm gonna tell my business partner, I'm like, dude, you are the most unrealistic guy, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. He'll be like, thanks. I think
Do you know in 1920 they wanted to close the patent offices because they believed that all new ideas were over with?
Oh, really?
Because the realities were all done. What was realistic then was carbon paper. What's realistic now is copy machines or instant, you know. So everything realistic is only in that particular moment.
Yeah. And it's always combining realistic ideas together to make something brand new that nobody else would have thought. And that's powerful. That's when you get into some really interesting niches, when you combine like 2, 3, 4, 5 different things and make some new critter nobody else would have thought about that. And then it takes a while for the competition to catch up to you. So that's pretty cool.
So we're in a new niche. Yes. We're absolutely in a new niche that we're taking the psychological tools and we're using it towards money. Because till now, if someone had trouble with money, they'd go to an accountant, they'd go to a financial advisor, they'd go to a financial planner, they'd go onto Google, and they'd be thinking, why in heaven's name can I not get this straight? And so we're understanding that, and we're trying to bring this new unrealistic idea into the world. And but no, it is realistic. And we're doing realistic planning, because we're taking that all into account. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share this with everybody.
Well, anytime. And to complete this, then how would people find you? Like, are you on the internet somewhere?
We are on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And we are online, as you said before, on the website. We are on Instagram as well. So
awesome.
We are definitely around.
Cool. And well, if you're
now with COVID, we are generally probably 95% virtual. So definitely we're from all over the place.
You got to be these days. Well, if you're listening, folks at home, if you're listening and you're like, I'm going to check and see what Simi's got going on. Like she said, find her on LinkedIn, find her on Instagram. The website is prosper.fit. That's prosper.fit. No E, because no excuses. And it's been a pleasure talking with you. And I'm glad that we know some of the same people, some of the same awesome people. And look forward to getting this episode pushed up for you, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share, and this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on, And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at our StevOps.